Last week, our book critic Maureen Carrigan talked about her selections for the year's best novels and short story collections. She's back with her list of the year's best mysteries and nonfiction books.
Recently, I talked about the best fiction of 2006. There was such an abundance of marvelous literary novels and short story collections that I wasn't able to squeeze in a mention of genre fiction, specifically mystery and suspense. So, since this is my list and I get to do what I want, I'm beginning my rundown of best nonfiction books of 2006 with a quick but deferential nod to two terrific mysteries. Morag Joss's Puccini's Ghosts is a world-class creeper in the Ruth Rendell psychological suspense tradition. Set in a damp village in Scotland in the early 1960s, its main character is a young girl disastrously besotted by art and the wrong man. Far removed in location and style, George Pelicanos's latest edgy outing, The Night Gardener, continues to extend the possibilities of the form, using the crime novel to ruminate on the politics of race and class in urban America. The Night Gardener was inspired by a true-life cold case, a decades-old series of murders of young African-American women in Washington, D.C., that remains unsolved. The spellbinding memoir, Girls of Tender Age, by Marianne Tyrone Smith, also memorializes the murder of a young girl. Growing up in working-class Connecticut, Tyrone Smith attended Catholic grammar school with a classmate named Irene, who was snatched from a neighborhood street one evening in 1953 and murdered by a convicted sex offender. The next day at school, Tyrone Smith recalls her teacher announced to the class, "There will be no speaking of Irene." Then the maintenance man came in and carried Irene's desk out of the classroom, and all the kids moved up a space. Tyrone Smith, without a trace of opportunism, uses her memoir to break that silence. She memorializes her classmate and resurrects with anger, but also with nostalgia, her particular corner of 1950s America. Another book that makes the point that the good old days also have a lot to answer for is Impounded, a collection of photographs taken by Dorothea Lange of Japanese Americans interned during World War II. Lange was commissioned by the government to record the internment of some 110,000 Japanese Americans after the attack on Pearl Harbor. She took over 700 photographs, stark and moving images of soon-to-be-interned kids dutifully saluting the flag, the abandoned horse stalls in California where families had to set up house for the duration, an interned mother and her son standing together in a field, him straight and stiff in a U.S. Army uniform. The historian editors of Impounded are Gary Y. Okahiro and Linda Gordon, whose prize-winning book, The Great Arizona Orphan Abduction, appeared on my best books list of 1999. In its own very different fashion, Daniel Mendelsohn's magnificent book, The Lost, also investigates the long legacy of World War II. The Lost is Mendelsohn's frantic, utterly engrossing attempt to find out the truth of what happened to, as he says, 6 of the 6 million. That is, to 6 of his relatives who died in the Holocaust. Mendelsohn is a renowned literary critic, and here he mingles readings of the Bible and the classics with autobiography and a detective narrative, all in the effort to try to get to the heart of his relatives' vanished stories. Another big, idiosyncratic, and altogether fascinating work of nonfiction that came out this year was Ron Rosenbaum's book, The Shakespeare Wars. In it, Rosenbaum dives into the thick of controversies that continue to bedevil the bard and his works. Throughout his many world-spanning travels and conversations, Rosenbaum makes a stirring case that not only the arguments about, say, original spelling and folio dating of the plays matter, but that Shakespeare himself vitally matters. Finally, two biographies about men who themselves once mattered in America, but who've since been largely forgotten, make my nonfiction best list this year. Historian Debbie Applegate calls her account of the life of the Reverend Henry Ward Beecher the most famous man in America. In the course of this biography, she convinces readers of the truth of that swaggering title. What exactly made Beecher the signal man of the Victorian age in America? As Applegate describes, Beecher ushered in a new era of reckless optimism by replacing the wrathful god worshipped by the Puritans with a sunshiny god of love who showered upon Americans the blessings of leisure and self-fulfillment. Well, perhaps too much self-fulfillment. In 1874, Beecher was publicly accused of criminal conversation with his best friend's wife. A sensational trial ensued, and Beecher's star dimmed. Another great man who publicly walked hand in hand with his god was William Jennings Bryan, the subject of historian Michael Kazin's biography, A Godly Hero. As Kazin details, Bryan is a politically ambivalent figure, a champion of labor unions and government regulation of big business, as well as the ill-starred prosecutor in the Scopes trial, famously ridiculed by H.L. Mencken as a poor clod, deluded by a childish theology. Maybe ambivalence rather than adoration is an inspired stance for a biographer to take, because Kazin's biography is extraordinarily rich and revealing. Both Beecher and Bryan were optimistic men, and in the course of reading about them, some of their positive thinking has rubbed off on me. In 2007, I'm looking forward to more enlightening memoirs, biographies, and works of cultural criticism, and as always, some great dark mysteries to cast a cloud over the sun.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. A complete list of her best books of 2006, fiction and nonfiction, will be on our website, freshair.npr.org.